Welcome to the Successful Farming Podcast. I'm Jody Henke. Our podcast today is hosted by Mike McGinnis, Successful Farming's marketing editor. He's talking with Al Kleiss, who is the managing director of Kleiss Commodity Advisors and also a monthly columnist on Successful Farming's Your Profit article. The two chatted at the end of February about significant grain marketing strategies that will be important for farmers to consider this spring and summer.
Al, thanks for your time today.
Glad to be with you again, Mike.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. Boy, have things changed in the last 3 months. This is offering some opportunity for farmers and possibly some opportunity to be productive, but also profitable. That's a word that we haven't been able to use for a number of years. But it looks like it's going to happen in 2021 and maybe even 2022. So why don't we talk about how we got here? What happened in the last 3 months?
It's really been an incredible run, Mike, and you go all the way back to August of last year, and that's when we started seeing prices turn around. Crop conditions started to move lower. You had big demand started coming in from China, and that's been a really positive combination for prices. We've taken the nearby corn was down at about $8.80 a bushel. We had a high of $14.43 this week. We had soybeans trading down right at $3 a bushel. Earlier this year, we hit a high of $5.74. So it's been an incredible run. It's been good not only for the front months of the futures contract, but we're also seeing some major hedging opportunities for the 2021 crop. And we're also, as a firm, beginning to look at doing some hedging out into November 22 beans, December 22 corn. I've been in this business a lot of years, and I remember hedging crops ahead in 2012, 2016. And boy, when the people delivered on those hedges, some of them were carried hedges for 2 years. But boy, those were great hedges to deliver on. So these markets go higher, Mike, but as you're aware, they don't stay higher forever.
The inversion of these contracts, so in other words, the nearby has been higher than the new crop contract, so to speak. Talk a little bit about the importance of farmers watching that and what that actually means.
Yeah, the backwardization, you're really seeing the markets led by the front months. Most recently, the March contract of corn has traded as much as a 6 or 7% premium to the May. The March beans right now, about even money with the May, they were trading higher than May. But then also when you look at May versus December corn, your May corn is worth a lot more than December because you're going to literally come close to running out of corn this summer, but if we have good weather, we could have a lot more corn in the fields and in the bins by this next fall. So the old trade saying that bull spreads work in bull markets certainly has been true. And in soybeans too, we've seen a pretty flat market initially, but now a big invert with the May and July futures at a big premium to November. That's usually a bullish sign. However, Mike, it can be a big caution sign too when it stops working. So just be aware of it and keep your eye on the spreads and your local basis patterns.
We're going to talk about some of the chart action that you're watching a little bit later on. But with this change in price and with this change in the market in the past 6 months, doesn't this highlight the necessity of farmers watching their grain marketing plan and adjusting that grain marketing plan as the marketing year goes along and also more specifically, maybe even the growing season that's upcoming?
Yeah, you have to always be looking at where's your risk in your cash crop, where's your risk in your new crop, and keep track of that on a spreadsheet or some type of grain management software. That's very important that you stay at, because you're not just growing corn or soybeans, Mike. We've talked about that before. You're growing money. And so you need to constantly adjust the plans as conditions change. How you sell it, do you protect your downside risk with hedges? Do you do with put options? It depends a lot on your storage situation, your basis, when you need the money. But using all those different tools is really important. And if you're only willing to sell cash and only willing to sell cash when you've got it in the bin, you've really handcuffed yourself as far as trying to be creative and have a very functional risk management plan.
As we end the month of February and look towards March, there seems to be some talk now about how important it is this year, especially with the volatility, that farmers know what kind of contract they are in and know how those contracts work. Can you talk about what some of those contracts might be that are out there that some farmers might be using and some maybe to avoid?
Correct. Yep. We have a bunch of the grain sold ahead on hedge to arrive contract. So we've got the new crop 21 corn and soybeans hedged ahead. Recently, we hit some targets up at around 470 on December corn. up at 12.18 in November beans. And so we're incremental sellers. I do recommend crop insurance, and that's a whole other probably video. But if you have RP crop insurance, it gives you a license to sell. We tend to do things in increments. We will get 30, 50% of the total crop covered with hedge or hedge to arrive contracts. If you hedge in your own account, you have the potential for margin calls, but you have a lot more flexibility with managing that hedge position. Once you get over 50% hedge, that's where I think you want to begin purchasing put options and getting downside protection on the crop without having a delivery commitment. And if the puts in the market goes higher, you can roll those puts up and lock in an even higher price level or floor on that crop if that evolves and this rally continues into the May-June time period. So be very flexible, be creative, but be proactive in managing risk, half with hedges, half covered with puts, the right crop insurance policy. You have a very effective risk management plan.
I'm hearing also some talk, this is online in some of the social network pages, that farmers are wondering about delayed price contracts. And also there's talk about accelerator contracts. And I think that they might have been popular in the last couple of years, but are we in a market where those two contracts would be something that you would talk to your farmer customers about?
I'll talk about delayed price contracts and I'll tell them not to do them. Okay. DP contracts are bad for the farmer. They're bad for the industry. You turn your grain over to a grain company, let them sell it. And then later on, you go back and ask them what they're going to pay you for it. If you look back in the history of these contracts, Mike, we put the low in the corn market August 31st, 2016, 17, 18, because there's literally millions of bushels of corn that had to be sold by the drop dead date of August 31st, each of those years. The trade knew it was coming and it came in and it put a spike low in each of those years. There's a lot better alternative than delayed pricing contracts. Consider just selling the crop, buying back a call option. You can control your own destiny. You get the use of 90% of the money. Consider selling your grain in a basis contract. You know exactly how many bushels you have. The basis is locked in. And with one phone call, you can turn that basis contract into a cash sale. The accelerator contracts, accumulator contracts, and all that, they are not worth it. Those OTC contracts really are blowing up on a lot of farmers this year because you may have 10,000 bushels sold. If it goes above a certain level, you got to deliver another 10,000 bushels. And a lot of times you don't know if you've got 10,000 bushels sold ahead or 20,000 bushels sold ahead, and that's at a fixed price. And so if the futures market continues higher like it has now, I've had some horror stories, people calling in that they did the 420 premium offer contracts back when corn was at 390 last year. So they sold their corn at 390, they doubled up at 420, and now we're up over 520 a bushel. Yeah, the OTC contracts are not real farmer friendly. There's a lot of people out there selling them. They pay really big commissions to the people that are selling them. I'll be very honest with you. Stay away from them. Number one rule in the grain industry is don't enter into any grain contracts when you don't understand how they work.
Right.
You need to learn how this is. This is your business. Again, you're growing money, not crops. And knowing, understanding these contracts, which ones to use and which ones to avoid, very, very important.
And to add to that, this year, volatility seems to be the biggest buzzword this year for the markets and going forward. Again, another real good reason to know what contracts you're in and how understanding them is important.
Very, very true, Mike. And also, I think it shows the importance to, I used to make 4 sales of 25%. I'm now doing 10 sales of 10%. With algorithm traders, the fund traders participating to the degree they are, you want to keep flexible. You want to be nimble in the decisions you make. And by doing 10 sales of 10%, it allows us to get a lot better average selling price than the idea that we're smart enough or a good enough trader to try to hit the top. Those people tend to be the ones that panic when prices are low.
This is also a time when prices are rallying and as high as they are right now. You probably are hearing a lot of farmers saying, well, why do I need to do anything? The market's pretty much taking care of me.
Yeah, there's complacency out there, and complacency is dangerous because higher prices does not automatically translate into higher profits. You've got to execute on your marketing plan. You've got to enter into the contracts that you think are right. You have to have those contracts in the proper delivery month based on your storage and cash flow needs. And so what I found is that the farmers that do a good job consistently are the ones that enjoy marketing. They take it seriously, and they spend time working on marketing every week. They have a notebook or a spreadsheet where they keep track of things. They know where their positions are, just like a grain elevator every day does a DPR, daily position report. Farmers should be doing the same thing with these volatile markets. Yeah, it's great to hear soybeans are up 40 cents, corn's up 20 cents. That's great to hear. But what does that mean specifically for your farmer operation? You need to know that, or you need to have somebody on your team that can put those numbers together on a minimum weekly, ideally on a daily basis.
Again, we're speaking with Al Kleist, the Managing and Director of Kleist Commodity Advisors and contributing editor of Successful Farming's Your Profit article. Well, this is the month of March, and at the end of the month, the USDA's Planting Intentions Report will be, of course, highly watched. What are the early thoughts on what U.S. farmers are going to plant this spring, and what is the market telling them to plant?
They're telling them to plant more of everything, Mike. Okay. We need more corn acres. We need more soybean acres. Last year, we had about 10 million acres to prevent plant. If you look at what the USDA has come out with recently, they're suggesting that number is going to be down to about 3 million acres in 2021. And so that frees up 7, possibly 8 million acres more for corn, soybeans, and wheat. I think spring wheat acres will be down significantly from last year, as much as 1 million acres. And so I can put together a scenario where we're going to have 2 million acres more corn and 6 or 7 million acres more soybeans in 2021 than we had last year. And even when you do that and you plug in trendline yields, we still do not build burdensome inventories as we look ahead to the following crop year. So we need more corn, we need more soybeans, we need good yields. And until that crop is a bend buster, and we know that next August, I think that any breaks in the markets are going to be pretty well supported.
I know that you watch the USDA reports closely. The planting intentions report is one of the biggest ones of the year, correct?
Yeah, that prospective planting report on March 31st is very big, as is the June final planning report. At the last few years, we've begun doing our own surveys of those reports, mm-hmm. and that's really been fascinating. It gives me a lot more respect for the USDA mm-hmm. and the work that they're doing. But we do see a shift to more soybeans. But I think especially our customers in North and South Dakota are bringing back their spring wheat seed. They're bringing back their oat seed. They're going to be going corn and soybean, fence row to fence row up there, unless they've got some contracts where they have to grow spring wheat or oats. But that's true. We have a fair business developed in Canada. And you get into southern Canada, soybean prices are profitable. Canola prices are even more profitable. And so you're going to see more soybeans, more canola up in those areas, less barley and less wheat, because the people will plant what offers the most profit.
I just saw on social media recently, a global map, and it was showing zeroing in on Canada, and it was showing the increased acreage of soybeans in Canada. It was pretty telling because they were using the different color-coded maps, and wow, when you see it that way.
I've been going up there for about 12 years, usually third week in March, speaking at conferences in Morris, Manitoba and Winnipeg, Manitoba. And it's really been a tremendous growth in corn and soybeans in that area. I think those really, really long days up there allow them to get better yields. I have customers north of Winnipeg, Canada, that are very consistently getting 55 bushel soybeans at 180 bushel corn. It's a very short growing season, but because the days are a lot longer, they tend to really get phenomenal yields up in that part of the world.
Based on the acreage estimates, the information that you're working on and hearing about, and the strength of the prices, what market strategies are you talking to your farmer customers about? How should farmers position themselves headed into what we alluded to earlier, a very volatile market and also possibly some volatile weather going into the planting season?
Mike, I'm not a crop insurance agent. I don't work for an agency, no affiliation with it. But I do recommend that you work with a qualified professional and get the right RP crop insurance policy. I'm guessing that when the risk management agency announces the prices, that we're going to see corn about $4.58 a bushel, RP price lock in, highest since 2013. compares to 388 last year. Soybeans, I think you're going to be plus or minus a couple of cents of 1186. And that compares to 917 last year. So if you've got the crop insurance, you have a license to sell. And so again, I would use a combination of tools, getting up to half of your delivery bushels that you have insured, hedged, and the balance of those bushels protected incrementally between now and early June with put options. And so you did basically a three-step risk management plan. I've written a lot about that in the Your Profit articles. You buy the crop insurance, you get those deliverable bushels, we used to call them A bushels, hedged up, the balance of the crop protected with puts. And I can show you years like when prices were very low back in 2016. The crop insurance, the hedges, the puts kept farms profitable in a very tough environment. I can also show you 2012 when prices went way, way high in the late summer. Yeah, we had some hedges that were underwater when we delivered on them. We had some puts that were worth, but between the crop insurance and the higher prices we were able to sell at that fall, it ended up being a really good year in what was a very volatile year. So it stood the test of time, and it's a very complete risk management plan. And if there are people that execute on that, I think they can make sure that 2021 is not just a profit opportunity, but it's a real profit for their farm.
Boy, I would think after a year like last year, you know, you might learn your lesson about crop insurance. That was quite the year to not have it.
Kind of like your life insurance that your wife has on you, Mike. She wants it there every month, okay? You got to be consistent. The same thing with marketing. You know, we sold a bunch of stuff ahead in 2020 and we delivered on harvest and it was below the market, the hedges. And now we got some other hedges rolling in. But if I stay at this and I look at it, if forward selling has worked 40 out of 44 years that I've been in this business, guess what? In 2021, especially at this price level, I'm going to be very active in using hedges and puts to get new crop protection in place.
Yeah. And the ARC and the PLC programs, there seems to be a lot of talk right now that those two aren't going to pay out very much this next year. So crop insurance comes into play even more importantly, perhaps.
I don't think you'll get any substantial payments on either ARC or PLC, but you need to sign up for them somewhat so you can get the right supplemental crop insurance alternatives. And if whatever happened that the prices crash lower, they do provide a very minimal, a very low safety net. But this year for 2021, focusing on the RP crop insurance and a good proactive hedging plan is a way that's going to give you a lot higher safety net.
Al, over the years, has written about how he is a chartist and he follows charts like many people follow their menu for supper or lunch or breakfast. What are the charts telling you right now? I know that when we were speaking in late February, you were mentioning that you're seeing some very interesting things on the charts right now. The Elliott Wave is one that you follow and have for many, many years. But give us a feel, Al, for what the charts are saying to you.
Since last August, we've been in an uptrend, okay? And the trend is your friend. We've been seeing prices move higher. This week, though, I've got a little caution sign. The soybeans went up and put in a pretty broad-based double top at about 1440. And so you look at where we were 6 weeks ago, we went to 1440. This week, at 1443 on the nearby contract. We still close higher for the week, but well off the highs. And as I look up and update my daily and weekly charts, that 1440 area double top is something that you need to be aware of. And if you've got some beans you still need to sell, it doesn't seem like we get above or stay above 1420 for very long.
And I might interrupt you real quick. So at the end of the week that you're referring to, it's February 26th. Folks that might be hearing this in March will want to know the reference of your date. And so it's
sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ending February 26th.
Ending February 26th. And so, yeah, that 1443 area in late February, we were not able to take out the high that was made in January on corn. That high came in at 574. And again, I'm a chartist. We had a major high in corn at 844 in August of 2012. Then we went down 2016, a bottom on nearby corn at $3 a bushel. And we revisited that April of 2020. So a year ago at the end of February, nearby corn futures closed at 366. This year, the end of February, we closed at 555. End of February 2020, beans are at 883 a bushel, Mike. This year they're at 1405. You know, Christmas came early.
Amazing.
So this has been an amazing run. And so it's really been an incredible run that we've seen in there. Wheat market from 529 up to 655. So it's been really incredible. On the corn market, what I started to say, we had a high of 844, a low of $3. So we dropped $5.44. What is a 50% retracement of it? 572. Where did we go to? 574. You know, so people say, you know, these chart patterns, you have to be aware of them. You don't have to trade, but if you are selling farm products, you need to be aware of some of these retracements. The 1440 was not really a chart objective I have. I do have several objectives on the longer term charts at between 1460 and 1520. And a few weeks ago, people would have thrown me in the loony bin for mentioning those prices. Now it's just a question of when it can occur. Mm-hmm. For the new crop, the December corn target's up around 470. We went to 478. I think $4.90 to $5 is going to be pretty tough to get through. On the new crop soybeans, we've popped up. We actually put some hedges on earlier this week up at around 1218. A market still right up in that neighborhood as we're speaking here, the end of the month, but we're getting some hedges on above that RP crop insurance login price. And if we would happen to pop up above 1240, then there's going to be a lot of resistance on that November chart up at around 13 to 1320. So these are all areas that seem like a long ways away. When you get there, be careful because the news is going to be incredibly bullish, but stay disciplined. If you like those targets now and you think it through, and this is really not an Al Kleiss or a Mike McGinnis crystal ball decision. This becomes a spreadsheet decision for your farm. We're getting up some very, very attractive price levels and profit levels. And to me, it's not a question of if you should be locking those prices in. It's just a question of how.
Well, let's stick with another market driver, and that is the funds. Those are the outside investors. And they, at the end of the month of February anyway, long the market. We know that for those listening, if you're not sure what long means, that means that's a bet that the market will go higher in general. And the question to you, Al, is we know that the funds can stay long for quite a long time. Will they in this case?
I think they will, Mike, until we get well into the growing season. There's still a lot of potential upside in this market on some of the old crop and even some of the new crop contracts, and so the funds will continue to come in. The other thing that's really become a factor over the last 60 days is the talk of more inflation. The chart I just updated recently was a 10-year Treasury chart, and that has been plummeting lower as long-term interest rates go higher. I hope you locked in your home mortgage last December because rates as of the end of February, first part of March, are likely to be about 0.5% higher than they were even 6 weeks ago. So fear of inflation is a bullish factor for commodity prices. Investors say, where can I put my money that we're going to hold our purchasing together? And historically, that's been gold. It's been silver. Some people will point to the NASDAQ stock market, but a lot of your old school money will follow it into the grain markets because they see real value. They see food as being a safe long-term investment. And so you have not only the algorithm traders and fund traders jumping in, but another group, the investment swap dealers are coming in, accumulating pretty large positions in the long only category. And they've been a growing factor to watch. But we talk about supply of a crop, demand for the crop. The other thing that's really started to come in the last decade, Mike, is the flow of money into and out of the futures market. And right now the funds are long. And I think in this, you know, they've reduced their long gradually over the last month or 6 weeks. They've been very orderly taking it off. But in the event of any planting delays, any type of weather scare, you can bet they're going to be piling back in there again.
We're also seeing the U.S. dollar falling. You just mentioned the yields going higher. The dollar seems to be falling in general, that, or historically anyway, that helps U.S. commodities, agricultural commodities on the world export stage. What are your thoughts about the U.S. dollar going forward?
Well, U.S. dollar, I think, is going to continue to go lower. We're running huge deficits. I think this year we're projected to have a deficit at the federal level of close to $4 trillion. That's with a T. I can't imagine that amount of money. But historically, when you run that large of deficits, you pay off that debt with dollars that are worth less. When I look at where the dollar is today versus where it was the end of February of 2020, the U.S. dollar is about 9% lower. And so people that have been sitting there, international investors earning 2% on a 30-year bond and watching that dollar value drop by 9%, that's not been a good combination. Over the long term, I think we are looking at more inflation. I think we are looking at higher interest rates, and that combination usually has been negative to the dollar. We're up to about 102 for a period in January of 2020. Right now, we're staying at about 90 to 92. I think ultimately, by third quarter of this year, fourth quarter of this year, we could see the dollar index down in the area of 85 to 88. This is positive for farmers in the sense that it's bullish to commodities. That's the good news. The bad news is, I think, come next year, when you buy a new combine, when you buy fall fuel, when you buy fall fertilizer, you're going to have sticker shock, because when you have a lower dollar, your cost of inputs tend to jump at the same time. And so that's just something to be aware of. Again, that when we talk about marketing, making the right financial decision on farms, I focus a lot on grain marketing, but we also need to focus on balancing our input and trying to lock those in at the right time.
Let's say a farmer does nothing with a grain marketing plan. What would you suggest one or two tips that they should or could do if they just don't have a grain marketing plan, don't plan to get one? What are one or two things that you think that it would be very necessary for them to do going forward?
I usually always want to avoid making cash sales, new crop sales in the months of September and October. So one very simple plan would just to be to break your crop up into 10 increments. It seems like we get rallies into about the 15th or 20th of each month. Just make 10 sales of 10% of your crop. Okay, very simple. Just call it like a paycheck approach. Every month, you're moving 10% of your crop. You've got that revenue coming in. You're going to have one or two sales you're not very happy with, one or two that you're going to be very proud of that you can talk about at the coffee shop. But you're going to come out with an average price, and that's going to probably do you better than if you simply do nothing and end up selling off the combine, or worse yet, storing all year and selling because you need the room. In the old days, there was two reasons why farmers sold grain. It started to smell, or they needed the money. Okay, neither of those is really a good marketing plan. And so rather than that, just spreading those sales out incrementally over 10 months is not a bad way to approach it. And even if you did that with half of your crop, again, it's not a bad approach to take. And so that's pretty simple methodology, just spread it out. If you want to add one other little wrinkle in there, Mike, that would be each month from March through July, the middle of each month, forward sell 5% of what your anticipated crop is. Okay, so you would have 30% of your crop sold ahead. You take that other 70% and you just every month sell 10% of it. You spread those sales out over a 10-month period. You avoid September and October. Simple plan, but what's interesting in our business too is to try to then put together a more comprehensive plan that beats that average.
Now, this is maybe a final comment from you, but I think it's going to be very interesting based on what you say. Pricing or hedging 2022 crops. So right now, if you look at the markets, 2021 prices, those contracts, futures contracts are looking pretty good. Basis is not too bad either. But give us an idea on what your thoughts are, hedging or pricing that far out.
A couple of things to consider. One would be, Mike, pull out and see if you can create or find a December 2014 corn contract. The entire 4 years of the contract. Let's go back to July, August of 2012. Nearby corn traded up to 844. So that December 2012 contract. Then December 2013 was only at 650. Only. Okay. Then you go out to December of 2014, that was trading at about 540 a bushel. And when you delivered, if you hedge your corn ahead, 2013 corn, you gained $1.80 on that hedge by the harvest of 2013. The 2014 hedge, you were ahead $1.20 a bushel. History repeats itself. And so again, as a firm, we didn't do 100%. We did 10 to 20%. And then people said, why didn't you do more? Well, hindsight's always perfect, but it was difficult to go sell corn out 2 years in advance at $5.40 a bushel when nearby corn was at $8.40 a bushel. So now when I look at it and we look out, we're looking at around $4.58 on December 22 corn and at around $12 on November 22 beans. Plug it into a spreadsheet. If those are your lowest sales 2 years from now, you're going to have a really good couple of years farming. I'm betting, and I'll face the music, let's make a date, Mike, to come on here a year from today and see where those prices are and how that recommendation has turned out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be real interesting as farmers look back when we get to the harvest time of 2022 and think, I could have done what?
What was I thinking?
Well, the spring planting season is probably going to be interesting because we've already started the year out in an interesting meteorological way. Farmers in late February in southern Texas couldn't even plant corn because of the polar vortex or the cold snap that they had and affected the whole state of Texas so badly. If that's any precursor to what the spring planting season is going to be, these markets could really be dynamic.
A lot of people are going to be listening to this podcast during the month of March. During the month of March, we have a lot of customers in the Delta, Mississippi, southeastern part of the U.S. They like to get their corn planted by the middle of March. And based on the last National Weather Service forecast I'm looking at, that doesn't look likely. Not just the cold snow and storm that hit down Texas, Arkansas, got a lot of the publicity, but that was cold all the way down to the Gulf states into the Mississippi. I talked to one of my customers in Mississippi recently. They'd like to get started digging out in the field late February, early March. They like to start to plant corn in the middle of March. That does not look likely. It's not a market factor yet, but it will become one, Mike. And also, we need that early planted corn and soybeans to fill the pipeline in August and September. And you're not going to lose any yields if you don't plant in those southern states or Delta until late March or early April, but it will impact when those crop supplies are available to fill the U.S. pipeline. Believe me, we need cash corn for the livestock sector in August. We need soybean meal for that livestock sector, a very important sector in the southeastern part of the United States, in August, September. And I'm hoping that customers down there can get corn and soybeans planted in early to mid-March and that they're going to be able to harvest that crop in August, because those August corn bids are probably $1.20 over September. And the August soybeans in some areas, Mike, are $3 higher than September. So they're really hanging a big carrot out there for our friends and customers in southeastern part of the U.S. to not only plant early, but plant early maturity type corn and soybeans to try to get those crops off as early as possible. You might take a little bit of hit in yield, but geez, Mike, for an extra $3 a bushel, people exactly should be willing to do it.
I even know that some farmers in southern Illinois and southern Indiana even try to do that. They try to plant fast enough to get that new crop contract in August. But so what are we saying? The market's going to be really nervous, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And if anything goes wrong because of the dynamics of how tight the ending stocks are.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm doing my charts, I put a seatbelt on my chair.
Yeah, very good suggestion. Good idea. Well, any final thoughts here before we wrap up? I do appreciate your comments. I think we're going into a very exciting and very volatile, very, very exciting time for farmers.
I like looking at charts. Obviously, I've done it for 40 years, and I can kind of feel like it grounds me in making my decisions. Other younger farmers like looking at spreadsheets, you know, and it's very important decisions that you make. You need to make disciplined decisions, and you need to make decisions based on what is the right profit decision for your farm. You have to really stay focused on that, and that would be my final thought. Don't just look at the price on the quote screen. Look at a price and what that means to your farm's profitability.
Good thoughts, Alan. We appreciate your time. Thanks again.
Thanks to Al Kleiss, Managing Director of Kleiss Commodity Advisors, for being our guest, and Mike McGinnis for hosting. And thank you for listening. For Successful Farming, I'm Jody Henke.